to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are excited to do a new series of movies for our episode 23.
Yep.
It is our Robin Dunn series. And Robin Dunn is an actor. He's a Canadian actor who has been in, we've counted 4 sequels.
Yes. Yeah.
And we are covering one of those sequels today for our episode 23, which is Cruel Intentions 2. Manchester Prep. There's actually
Cruel Intention 2, Manchester Prep.
Manchester Prep. So we've done a research on this. There's a reason why that is called that, but we'll get into that. Robin Dunn, Canadian actor, who you might know if you were a Dead Like Me fan.
Yep.
He was George's boyfriend for a couple episodes.
He was George's rich boyfriend for a little bit in Dead Like Me.
In Dawson's Creek.
He was in Dawson's Creek.
He was in season 4, I do believe, The College Years? Season 4 or 5, where he played Joey's boyfriend for a couple episodes there. So he always plays a boyfriend.
Yeah.
There you go. And good for you.
You know what? I think he's a very good actor.
That's fine.
I think he actually is very good at comedy.
I think so, too.
He's got the drama down, too. But, like, I think he's underrated as a comedy player. They usually get him for being charming and things like that.
Right. He's accessible, okay on the eyes, nice, you know, easy actor to, you know, kind of play the role.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular belief, Robin Dunn's father is not Griffin Dunn.
Correct.
Who is Robin Dunn?
We were misinformed.
We were misinformed. I don't know. And we looked it up. We couldn't find anything. And then we found a picture of who Robin Dunn's father is. But you found some more information if you're an O.J. Simpson.
About Simpson Griffin front. Dunn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dominic Dunn.
Dominic Dunn, yeah.
Who, you know, does a lot of, like, he does, biography, like, a lot of, like, reporting on, like, social things.
Right.
And, like, does, like, I think he did some screenwriting and things, too.
Sure.
But, I remember him from a show called Dominic Dunn, Power, Privilege, and Justice, or something like that. Dominic Dunn, Power, and Privilege. I'm trying to remember. But he's
big with the OJ.
Yeah, a lot of tabloid-type things.
Yeah.
And he actually was in was observing, like, the OJ Simpson trial and reporting out on that. He is Griffin Dunn's father.
Right.
So there was a relationship.
Not Griffin Dunn. He's Robin Dunn's father.
He's Griffin Dunn's father.
Oh, he's Griffin Dunn's
yes.
father. Yes. Okay.
So Griffin Dunn is related to somebody, just not anybody that we need to talk about.
Who's Robin Dunn? So Robin Dunn's father is just someone.
Robin Dunn's dad is just a dude.
Oh, just a dude. Okay, but Griffin Dunn's. Yeah. Okay.
Just
so
a Canadian
it doesn't even
guy.
Matter.
Just a Canadian guy.
And keep your enemies close. Or your friends close and your enemies closer. And that would be the Dunn family.
Apparently
not
so.
Robin Dunn family.
Apparently so.
Robin Dunn's Canadian. Obviously, Griffin Dunn is from New York and not Canadian. So, but anyway, we are going to drop the deuce on Cruel Intentions 2.
Yes.
Manchester Prep.
Manchester Prep.
Because I can say Manchester Prep.
Manchester Prep.
But first, these messages.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
So are we going to be working together? Really? Worst film you ever saw? Well, my next one will be better.
It's the Film and Water Podcast. The Film and Water Podcast covers movies new and old, classic and not so classic. Proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Available weekly on fireandwaterpodcast.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
And we're back.
We're back. You were telling me that they cover all sorts of things like...
yes, they do.
A lot of comic books.
Well, that in general I found was a movie podcast that does classic movies and is very... They review
But in their
of
network,
things.
They were... They
in their network, they
things.
Do a lot of like comic book stuff. That guy that hosts the film one that I listen to also hosts a Bob Dylan podcast called Pod Dylan, which is a great name. So, yeah, check them out. So... I know, it's funny.
Excellent name.
Lay, lady, lay.
So, before we get too far into this, I think there's a couple of things we need to cover.
Probably.
So, first off, This podcast is about the second movie,
right?
In the series of movies,
right?
It is not about
the new HBO show
about
The Deuce.
About making pornography.
Pornography starring James Franco as like a twin mustachio guy.
I haven't seen what it was.
The Deuce is about the HBO show. The Deuce is like a 70s show. Well, it's set in the 70s, about the 70s pornography.
Yeah.
It's by David Sim, who's the guy that did The Wire.
Nice.
So,
okay.
So it's full of prestige, and a lot of people are looking at this show going, oh, this must be something good. So,
yeah.
But so this is not an after show. This is not an after show about HBO show The Deuce.
And I would hope that you could come up with a better after show name if you were doing an after show for The Deuce than that.
Yeah, like after dinner mint or like Schmidt or I don't know. I don't watch
Mint.
I think if you do have HBO, you can watch the first episode, but it's not. It's premiering later this month.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I think you can watch the first episode.
Yeah, I think we read the description, or I saw the name and went, holy crap.
I was like, what? And what was the other thing? You said that was the one thing that we needed to talk about.
Oh, I didn't know if we want to give a little bit of background about this movie.
You can, but that might interrupt our dropping the Deuce part of it. It might make more sense later on to tell the listeners how they made this movie. This movie is kind of it's a sequel prequel.
Yeah, and it's so, you know, usually we try to stray away
video,
from those.
Right.
Well, I saw it on Cinemax years ago. Yeah. So we generally try to stay away from like the sequel prequel things or sidequels.
But Robin Dunn
stuff.
Is such a god.
Yeah, but we wanted to make sure that we gave Robin Dunn full coverage
He's
here.
He's due props.
Yes.
Yes. I hope he's not done with sequels. Robin Dunn, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
So let's go ahead and drop the Deuce, and we can loop back around then and talk about this.
We shall.
Okay.
Like, again, like I said, this is a prequel to the 1998 movie?
Yes, 1998
movie. 1998
movie,
Cruel Intentions. Dangerous Liaisons.
Yeah, which is a remake or an adaptation of Dangerous Liaisons. And so that movie came out, had a popularity to it, and I think they tried to capitalize and get this going.
A lot of stuff in the 90s did the whole teenage thing, so this was one of those.
So
movies.
This came out in 99.
Well, this movie came 2000. Out in
2000. But it was obviously
it was filmed in 1999, but it came out in 2000.
Yes,
so it was
correct.
Really quick.
Yeah. So obviously quick turnaround on that one. But it does star some names, especially one that you'll probably Robin Dunn.
Yes. No one else is in this. It's just a one-man Robin Dunn show.
Yes. Well, let's talk. Okay, so we open on a school. So and it's just a quick shot of the school. And cut to Sebastian, who's played by
the god himself, Robin Dunn. Yes.
Looking very guilty. I mean, we can tell he's looking guilty because his eyes are darting back and forth.
And if you've seen the first movie, you know that he's up to no good.
Yeah.
There's something up with him.
Yes. So his principal says, hey, you know, you're not dumb, but you're just unruly. He's like, you fed the hamster Viagra. And he was like, well, I'm doing a study on sexuality, so I wanted to see what was going to happen. And so the principal interrupts him. He basically says, look,
why a hamster? Like, what in Viagra?
That's, I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. So he said, you're going to be starting a new school soon. And so Sebastian asks him not to forward his transcripts. Like, he wants a fresh start. He doesn't want...
He's been in trouble a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't want the stigma of his life basically hanging over his head.
Well, a fresh restart.
Yeah, and so the principal says, you know, sorry, I've really thought about that a lot, and I'm going to send it. It'll be the perfect opportunity for you to rise above, you know, and just be more than this. So you've got to rise above. And, of course, Sebastian acts very thankful for that. And comments on a picture of the principal's wife, So, which is very similar to the opening scene of the original Cruel Intentions, where
with the
his psychologist with Swoozy Kurtz and
Nebraska's her daughter, own Swoozy Kurtz,
and her daughter Tara Reid.
Oh yeah, her daughter was Tara.
It was a little quick Tara.
Yeah,
Reid.
I tried to forget Tara Reid.
she's terrible.
She's
rude. Anyway. Sebastian comments on the picture and says, "Oh, you know, she's looking good." And he says, "Well, she's concerned with young people's minds, and it's her just holding this sign that says no."
Yeah. Something like no. Just say no.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about...
And you think it's about drugs, but it's about banned books.
Yeah. She's trying to... Like, she's gone through and she's censored a lot of books. And, of course, Sebastian's like, "Oh, I'm glad she did that with Catcher in the Rye. It just felt like I was reading that so many times and negatively influenced."
You are not a Holden Caulfield.
So, of course, the principal is trying to escort him out of his office, and finally Sebastian gives him a hug and says he'll never forget him. Once the principal closes the door, of course, he calls him a pansy. So, similar to the original movie, the principal gets a call, and this woman starts chewing him out. Turns out it's his wife, and she said...
Chewing him out.
She said, "I've been ruined."
Yeah.
"You know, you've ruined my reputation. How could you let this happen? You know, it's my yearbook picture." And he goes, "Oh, well, you look fine, sweetie." And she goes, "What are you talking about?"
Why is she in a yearbook?
I don't know. Maybe because she works with the school. It's like a private
thing. Maybe. I don't know.
In any case, there's a picture of her. I'm obviously altered. Where she's naked, just holding the no sign in front of her chest.
Right.
But... you know, obviously made her look a fool. And, of course, it's got Sebastian's name as the photo credit on there.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that she hates him and she'll never forgive him for this and all that kind of jazz. So the principal, we cut back in the chair, is spinning. Like, he's obviously off and taken after Sebastian. Sebastian gets to the taxi cab driver who is
woman. Runs to the window to yell at him, like knowing that there's a cab waiting for him. I mean, he just knows where he's at. That's kind of weird. But.
Well, because that's Swoozy Kurtz did the same thing. Yelled down over the balcony at him.
Yeah. Sure, whatever.
You know, he's yelling at him and, you know, telling him he'll pay for this and all that kind of stuff. So Sebastian, basically we cut to this point, the taxi's driving, and we're coming into the city, and it very reminiscent of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm. He's like, head hanging out the window and like looking at stuff.
"Take me to New York. Hey, cab.
Yeah,
cab. Smell you later.
Smell you later."
This movie wasn't smell-o-vision. And there was a lot of rotten fish.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Rotten loofahs. So Sebastian pulls up to this grand mansion, and he gets out, and somebody grabs some of his bags and says, "You know, we'll take care of that for you." And he goes, "Well, which apartment is ours?" And they go, "The whole building is yours." Oh, you know, I mean, it's opulent.
Right.
And so we get a little bit of expository dialogue. So... when Sebastian comes in, he talks to his father.
Right, we do get some.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but it's
being
different,
as a prequel,
though.
I don't think you need a lot.
So this is new to us because we've not done the prequel ones, and so usually you have like recap from the first story. Well, you're not going to do that.
Right.
So now because
it's
telling
a sequel prequel, which is weird.
But. Yeah. So now they're telling us some of the background. So. Turns out Sebastian's mom is in rehab, so he had nowhere to go. So his father said that Sebastian could come stay with him and his new wife.
Yeah. I said, "How's your mom doing?" "She's in rehab." "No, no, no."
He's going to be staying with his dad, his stepmother, who's played by Mimi Rogers. And Catherine, who you may remember, was originally played by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Who's now played by...
Amy Adams.
Lois Lane herself, Amy Adams.
Yes.
I went for that role first.
And this
I don't
is,
know why.
So at this point, Amy Adams had done Drop Dead Gorgeous. And was that it?
I don't know. Some other things?
Oh, no. She did Drop Dead Gorgeous, Psycho Beach Party.
Psycho Beach Party.
Charles Bush. Yes. Psycho Beach Party. Which, fantastic movie and play. it's kitschy. I love
it's
it.
It's kitschy, yeah.
So she was in
that. Is that the guy
that
did Die Mommy Die?
Yes, he did Die Mommy Die also. And then was in, then she was in Cruel Intentions too. She, of course.
So she has a pedigree already. I mean, this woman is ready, primed for an Academy Award nomination after Academy Award nomination.
So we are talking pre whatever happened to her face, Amy Adams.
She looks like it.
She looks,
I don't know,
so different. Like, either she was yet to grow into it or whatever, but okay, she looks so different.
Her lips look different.
Yeah.
Like they're moving, and I don't want them to.
I think her nose looks different. But yeah, well, maybe not. But she is, obviously.
It wasn't high up there like it is now.
It's not all buttony like it normally is. But
she does
like,
have a button nose. Oh my God.
Yeah, right?
In The Arrival, I just wanted to boop it.
Boop.
Like, you know, boop. We're communicating with aliens. I don't care. Boop.
That's what it all was about. Yeah. Their tentacle came out and went, boop.
Are you Amy Adams? Boop. Boop. I know you've done something with your nose, but.
So it's kind of obvious that she's still coming into her own with her acting at that point, too.
Yeah, this beginning kind of seems a little overacting.
Amy Adams she's pretty strong on her acting. Like, now, when we think of her. But, like, back then, it was a little tough.
Right.
Yeah. But, obviously, it's kind of cool to see
Christian
where
Bale was cheesy and newsies. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
His dancing was superb.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember in the first movie meeting their parents.
They didn't show up at all.
Yeah, they didn't show up at all.
Which is why it's
this is odd.
Here. Yeah.
Me.
But makes some sense, I guess. I mean, you have to have them somewhere there.
Right.
How does it's more of like a vehicle to get them introduced
together. Yeah. In the same house.
But we don't see them that much. And that, which is pretty consistent with the movie. They don't show up all that much.
Right.
Which, you know, talks about why. I mean, there's really that kind of, nobody has that relationship. They're all kind of free agents for the most part. It's mostly Sebastian and Catherine.
Even the parents themselves in this movie are like, you know, their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Doing
their own thing.
So, Sebastian is introduced to his stepmom. Of course, she flirts with Sebastian a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. You just met your stepson for the first time.
Yeah, and so Tiffany, the stepmother, she has a cat in her lap, and Sebastian says, oh, you have a very nice-looking, and,
Dad taps him.
Dad elbows him, and he goes, cat, or kitty cat, or something like that.
Not the first time we're going to get a pussy joke.
Yeah, and stepmom goes,
and pussy cat. That pussy, you know, women that are listening to this, I mean pussy cat when I say that. Okay.
So the stepmom
asks, you can direct your angry emails to Jeremy.
Yeah. Kalina. Knock yourself out.
At AOL.com.
BradleyDornkamp@. No. So the stepmom asks if he'd like to pet her cat. So very awkward already from the get-go.
Right.
Then they introduce him to Catherine. So she's been over there playing, I believe, the Moonlight Sonata the whole time.
I guess you would say Mimi. Was it Mimi Rogers? Mimi Rogers is probably, at this point, the most seasoned actress in this movie.
Yes. And
she shows a good job.
It. Yeah, she's very.
She's not in it that much, but she shows it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she shows her cat
seasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then she's playing the Moonlight Sonata, Catherine is.
All this talking of cat is making our cat freak out. She's if you hear her in this
episode, we apologize. She's antsy. So it's interesting to me that, you know, usually you're like, well, we can't invest all the money into getting these big-name celebrities back to film another movie or to do something. Amy Adams was the step down from Sarah Michelle Gellar,
which is opposite.
Is ironic because
which is very opposite.
You know, I think it's the first time ever that Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, you know, she was Buffy. The other Buffy was there.
Right. It was the other way, right?
Yeah. So Sebastian sits down, of course, starts playing chopsticks, and Catherine kind of, you know, is chuckles. Like, oh, well, you only know that. That's cute. And then immediately starts busting into Flight of the Bumblebee, which is a very complicated piece.
Is that really what he was playing?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he was playing Flight of the Bumblebee.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't. I mean, obviously the stunt hands were.
Well, you don't know that.
Oh, it could have been
Robin Dunn.
He is a threat, a triple threat.
Yes.
He can play the piano.
Yes.
I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
Act.
He can act. And he stands outside your window and threatens you.
Yes, and he stands outside your window and threatens you. It's true.
Yeah.
All in the movies, not in general. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's his Saturday night, too. Who knows? When he realizes his dad's not Griffin Dunn, he goes crazy.
I'll kill you, Griffin Dunn.
After hours, I'll show you.
So later on, they're at dinner. And of course, they're all just awkward. Catherine is trying to impose herself basically over Sebastian, show how smart she is by throwing these $100,000 words around. So she's throwing these $100,000 words around. Sebastian, of course, corrects her about some of them. And the stepmother, Tiffany, is not pleased. So she ends up saying, wow, he outdid you in your piano performance and your grammar.
And his acting.
And vocabulary.
And his acting.
Yes, and there's that as well.
Yeah.
And so says, what am I putting you to school for if this is all you're going to be doing? And obviously her mom has these high expectations of her.
Well, she's Amy Adams.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we all have high expectations.
Yeah.
Of Amy Adams.
Yeah.
So Kat busts in on Sebastian in the shower. And this might be like the first real glimpse of Catherine that we get. So she busts in on him in the shower and starts threatening him, saying she's got a good thing going here. No curfew, a five-figure allowance, and she's not going to have him jeopardize that. So Catherine tells Sebastian to stay out of her way. Of course, then she checks out his junk and congratulates him before leaving.
Which is what you should do to your stepbrother.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Maybe they do stuff different in New York.
Yeah. No. I still don't think that's the normal thing.
Right. I don't think so either.
So she, on her way out, she flushes the toilet, of course, for good measure. The classic shower bit, flushes it and the water goes cold. And of course, we see him in silhouette go, wah, and try to like back up from it. And he ends up falling down in the shower. Later, we cut to Manchester. Catherine shows
not
her true
England,
colors.
But the prep school.
Yes, Manchester prep.
You know, I don't want people to think that this is the start of the Britpop movement. For
no, no,
that's too late.
Yeah, we're way after that. And she's in the car and she berates Sebastian. Basically trying to tell him to, again, stay out of her way. She has a reputation to uphold. And finally kicks him out of the limo before they get up to the building because she doesn't want anybody to see that she's with him. He goes to see the headmaster and runs into Danielle. Sweet Danielle. So he, of course, tells her she's beautiful. Says he's heard the headmaster's kind of a joke. And is just shooting the breeze with her. He finally makes it in, and his file is just absolutely glowing. So the headmaster looks at it and says, oh, well, this is perfect. Almost too perfect, but it's good. And welcomes him, you know, into Manchester. Of course, then a young woman comes in and starts talking with him. And it's Danielle. And, of course, she smooches him, and Danielle, it turns out, is his daughter.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, he just said he was a joke. So.
Well, okay, so the second movie has a different headmaster. I mean, this place is going through headmasters more than, like, Rome, Wisconsin goes through mayors. And if you get that reference, congratulations.
Yes.
You are my new best friend.
Huh?
But, like, I just find it odd, like, because in the second, or in this, technically the first movie is now the second movie because it's a prequel, but it really is the first movie. What's-her-face, Reese Witherspoon's character's dad is the new headmaster, right?
Was it her dad? I thought it was her uncle.
Or her uncle, or someone who's related to her is the new headmaster. Yeah. Is taking over. But I thought this guy just took over, you know. So they're going through, you know, headmasters left and right.
Yes, correct.
Probably because they don't pay worth shit.
No, when she gets brought up.
Right.
Before. Yeah.
Multiple times.
So Catherine's delivering the orientation speech to all the new kids because she's the student body president.
Right.
And during Catherine's orientation speech.
No, we got to remind people that in the first movie, she has a necklace because she has got a cross. And she's got her drugs in the cross.
Yep, she's got her cocaine.
This is nowhere in this movie.
Yes.
Is there. And I'm kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah.
Because we don't get that explained, but it just reminded me, like, this is the first time I really saw, like, around her neck.
Yeah.
Because she's doing a speech, and I'm like, she doesn't have her cross.
Yeah, and it would have been one thing to have them be like, oh, hey, here's this, and just introduce that as a concept, but they never even... Never even comes close.
Or even just to, like, for fans that, oh, her cross is around her neck. We know what that is. But she's giving her speech.
Yeah, so during her speech, this girl keeps hiccuping. And her hiccups, she's, of course, this bubbly, sweet girl. Her name is Sherry Clayman, played by Carrie Lynn Pratt.
Right.
She's been a repeated, or she played the same character a couple times on CSI, just general kind of stuff. Like, she's usually always your bubbly, kind of character on TV shows.
Was she in Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
No.
No, she just looks like that girl in Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
She doesn't even look close to her.
Okay, whatever.
She has blonde hair.
Okay, that was, no, not the main girl. Oh. There's like a girl that is with them.
Oh, no, that's not
okay.
Her.
She's just another ditzy girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. So, Catherine's obviously upset with this interruption.
Right.
You know, she does
stealing
not like
the focus.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, Sherry says, oh, sorry about that, and she just needs a gum fix.
Right, because I think Time Life Home Remedies said, if you've got hiccups, put a stick of juicy fruit in your mouth.
That's true.
I've never heard of this cure in my life.
Right. And of course,
well, like, scare yourself or breathe in a bag or hold your breath, but not, you know, here's some bubblicious.
Well, we find out why that's not the way to go. So she's blowing a bubble and she hiccups and the gum sucks in and she starts choking. So she falls down on the ground, you know, struggling to breathe.
This wouldn't happen with Bazooka Joe bubblegum because you can't chew that.
It would have cut straight through her esophagus. So. Of course, some student runs up and gives her the Heimlich maneuver, which causes the gum to shoot across the auditorium. The student picks Sherry up in his arms and carries her out while everyone is just cheering. Catherine is upset because the gum somehow flew all the way from the middle of this, like,
again,
this, like, chapel. All the way.
This happens
into her
all the
hair.
Time in movies. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie where they do the spitball and it magically hits it all the way to the back. So this gum hits her and then lands perfectly in her hair.
Yeah. Well, with the Ninja Turtle one, it flew around and curved to the front side of his face.
Right.
So, yeah. So now we cut to class. So they're talking about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and most of the kids are stupid. Like, they're obviously spoiled, rich, whatever. So they are just answering stupid things. They don't need to know anything. They just got to make it through school because they're rich. Only the two kids who came from other backgrounds say anything otherwise. So Danielle starts saying...
Yeah, they think it's a bird class that they can fly. Oh, wait, this isn't Sister Act.
Danielle says there's it's all about duality of man.
Yeah, right.
You know, your good and evil sides. And Sebastian says it's about love, that Jekyll actually loved Hyde. And they kind of get into this debate in the middle of class, which the teacher loves probably because he's never had anybody who's put forth like an intellectual conversation. In the meantime, Catherine hunts down the assistant head manager or head master, Steve Mueller. He, of course, tries to get away from her as soon as he hears her voice. She somehow catches up with him and manages to run around and sneak out from behind a pillar. Makes no sense.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
But she wants to know why she has gym class.
I'm in gym, and I shouldn't be in gym.
Yeah, and he says all students have to have gym. It's a requirement. And apparently, she seduced him over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
She says, well, you know, you seduced me.
In the Hamptons.
Me. Yeah, you seduced me in the Hamptons.
I don't know what they give the salary for their teachers that he can live in the Hamptons, but they don't do the headmaster. Very good.
He might have been working a summer job.
Right.
But he says, no, you seduced me. And she goes, well, that might be true, but I'll tell the school board otherwise, and who do you think they'll believe? And then she's like, look.
They should believe five-time Academy Award nominee Amy Adams.
If I tell them this, you're going to ruin your career. You're going to ruin your marriage, all of this. So just make Jim go
Correction,
away.
Correction, 6, 7. I don't know how many times. But I'm going to tell you, I read that the guy that did that role, he's a big voiceover guy and actually did the voice of Link in the Legend of Zelda cartoon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not something to be proud of.
No, I'm just saying.
If it's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's the one you're thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how everybody feels about that one. I like the Mario Brothers show more, but yeah, the Zelda one.
Is it Captain N in the Game Master?
Oh, from that?
Yeah.
In Captain N?
Yeah.
Because there was an actual Zelda cartoon, too.
Is this the debate, like Kids Incorporated, that you didn't know that that was Fergie?
I don't know. Obviously, these are different things, but you just keep saying yes, like it's one entity.
And I was showing you Kids Incorporated. Never mind. We're going to keep going on this.
Okay, so Catherine makes her way up to the attic of the school and gives a secret knock at this, like, fallout, you know, door, fallout shelter door.
First, I'm like, is she going in the attic? Where is she going?
Yeah, and so apparently it's a meeting of what they call the Manchester Tribunal.
The Manchester Tribunal. Which is just the popular kids.
It's the popular kids.
I was going to say the rich kids, but I'm going to assume they're all kind of.
Yeah, they're all pretty rich. It's all the kids who were in power, basically.
Sorry, I had the hiccups. I'm just get some gum.
I should get you some gum for that.
Oh my God. Grab a stick of juicy fruit. Here's your hiccups.
So Catherine vows to weed out all of the losers and then have them kicked out of school?
Yeah, that's her plan.
Yeah, I'm like, that's kind of an odd plan because somebody's always going to be the loser of the group.
It's also not really a great plan.
No.
I mean, that's all you're going to do.
Right.
Okay.
So
we just accept it and go along for the
ride. Yeah, we do. So in the meantime, Sebastian finds Danielle working at a used bookstore and catches her looking at the Kama Sutra that she's supposed to reshelf. Of course, he flirts with her and then charms her into going to get coffee with him.
Yes.
Back at the tribunal, they're judging whether people are cool or not. And so there is a... what's his name?
They show slides of
they're
geeks.
Showing slides of people and
the nerds.
The person who's reading through it, his name is Court. I think it's Court Betancourt or something.
So we assume that's Court from the first movie.
It's Court from the first movie, which was the guy who Catherine was dating or was hooked up with, but he dumped her because he was planning to make moves on Celeste.
Okay.
Played by. Oh, God, Selma Blair.
Selma Blair.
Yeah, so we have him back, but there's no, you have no indication. And I don't even know if he goes there because he's not wearing a uniform. He's the only one I don't see wearing a uniform.
That's true. He doesn't really wear a uniform. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's just she's Tyler Durden.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
So they're going through. Of course, richness counts. They come across one kid and they're like, ew. And they go, well, his dad owns whatever sporting center, and they said, well, let's give him a facial and then see if we can get tickets to the Hole concert.
Oh, yeah. Very timely, the Hole concert.
Yes.
I like to call them the Nirvana cover band Hole.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct. The Smashing Pumpkin cover band Hole.
Yes, Billy Corgan did write some songs for her too, so yeah.
So they get to Sebastian and nobody knows anything about him. And they're like, well, isn't he your stepbrother? And she goes, I just met him. Like, I don't know what you want. So they said, but we're going to keep an eye on him and we'll see if we can hunt down some information.
Killer wedding. This wedding must have been great. It had no one at it because no one knows anyone in this family. You figured that he would be there at the wedding.
And they talk about that a little bit later, too. They said that he doesn't spend much time with his dad. His dad has been married 4 times.
Yeah, but still.
His dad's been married 4 times, and so he doesn't really do anything with his dad. His dad is basically just kind of a gold digger.
I ain't saying he's a gold digger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Catherine says, keep an eye on him to Court. So Court says, yeah, he'll find something. Then they come to Sherry. And, of course, her picture, she's smiling and really close to the camera. So everybody goes, when her picture comes up. Well, it turns out.
Which is a better reaction than Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day.
Yeah. Catherine doesn't want her around. But her family brings in $850 million annually.
Right. So it's all who you know and how much money.
And she says, well,
cha-ching.
We're not going to be able to get rid of her, but I'll make Sherry the premier slut at Manchester.
So Sherry is pretty much playing the Selma Blair character from the first movie.
Correct. Right. Some of the same exact bits.
Some of the same exact bits. At this moment, should we tell them really what? No? Okay.
Yeah, let's go through.
Yeah.
So, but it's basically rehash of the, like, all of Selma Blair's stuff from the first one. So, Sebastian and Danielle both talk about how neither of them came from money. You know, this is his dad's 4th marriage. He's a gold digger, so he never really had time.
I ain't saying he's a gold digger.
He really never had time for Sebastian because he's always looking out for himself. And, of course, his mom is in drug rehab, and she's been in and out of the rehab a lot, and so he's always had to kind of fend for himself. And he had nowhere to go this time, so his dad reluctantly let him come with them. We cut back to, or at that, right about that moment, Catherine's limo pulls up, and so she tells Sebastian to get in, you know, because they have to get home for dinner.
Get home, yeah.
And so,
how was your day?
Yeah, when they're in the car, she says, have a good first day at school, retard. To which he replies, yeah, it was great. Some uptight bitch got gum in her hair. And she goes, touche.
Touche.
And I think that was the first time I really laughed.
Because the way Robin Dunn did deliver that.
Robin Dunn, his delivery is very good. He's a very good actor, I think.
Okay. If you are listening to this, Robin Dunn.
Yes.
You can reach us at.
Yes.
The Deuce Podcast.
Yes. Find us on Facebook.
Popping. Don't find us on Facebook.
So, Catherine
Dunn.
Then gets
Robin
a.
Robin Dunn. Are you there, Robin Dunn?
Stop. Catherine gets a call on her cell phone. And of course, acts all sweet. And of course, it's a 2000 cell
phone.
Like
a doctor check.
So
with
it's
Mr.
leaking
Hyde,
radiation.
Kind
of. And she gets off the phone and it's like, ugh, you know, Sister Sherry. And Sebastian tells her to leave Sherry alone. She's innocent. She doesn't deserve whatever.
Yeah, this is a different type of Sebastian than what we know from
the first
Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, Phillippe.
Phillippe. Character who's very...
He's
kind
angsty
of
and a
angsty.
Loner. And
emo in a way.
Yeah.
Where's his
He's
emotions?
Cruel.
Kind of cruel.
He has cruel intentions.
Yeah.
So
and
he's,
Robin
he's
Dunn has cruel intentions too, but they haven't manifested yet.
Yes. So, but he says, "Hey, leave her alone. She's innocent." And of course, Catherine is surprised because he shows he's got a backbone. So after a late night jog, Sebastian goes home, and they say, "Hey, dinner is going to be ready here." Mm. And of course, the chef has a chicken, and he's getting ready to cut its head off.
Well, first of all, the butler guy has a fake... All these people have fake accents.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, ugh.
Well, it's all the European servants and whatever to show, you know.
All the help has accents.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no. You got to feed you.
Yeah.
And all that.
He was all German, but cool. That
wasn't German? What was that?
What, your thing?
Yeah.
I have some sort of Italian.
Yeah, my accents are always Italian. But, yeah.
So then Sebastian.
Do you want to hear my Japanese?
That's See? Good. Yep.
Meatballs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I can't it's great. See any kind of flaw with that. So, Sebastian, they serve him as an appetizer, sweetbread mousse. Now, do you know what sweetbread is?
Yeah. Sweetbread mousse.
Sweetbread.
Sweetbread mousse is actually a porn name from the Deuce TV show. Yeah.
I thought he was one of the Globetrotters. That's coming down the lane. Sweetbread mousse.
I thought it was a porn guy.
No, sweetbread is...
Sweetbread mousse.
Sweetbread is a gland in the brain. It's like one of the endocrine glands or something like that. But it's... you used to be able to get them. And when I was a kid, when my mother was a kid, her dad worked on the the meat. The meat cutting
the sweetbread
line.
Sweetbread mousse line.
And he would take the sweetbread out, and he'd have a pan there, and you could just fry it up and eat it right there. And so they would just
have you
eat
had
them
it?
As they went. There was a place that used to serve sweetbread around here. I ate one piece of it, and I was grossed out.
Okay.
And I eat, like, anything. Like, I have a pretty iron stomach, but that I couldn't handle. So, of course, he sees that, and it's this kind of, like, off-colored... beige.
I thought it looked like that cat food.
It looks like they put Spam in a Jello mold.
Yeah.
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 And of course he then
actually it looks like they put treat. It looks more treat than Spam.
Because it has a beard.
Yes. Because it's generic, yes.
Yes. And
Spam
so
Williams.
Spam Williams instead of
Treat Williams.
He hears them kill the chicken, and he just goes, man, I'm out. And so he's going to go out instead. So he's getting ready to leave. He finds his dad in the billiard room. And, of course, it sounds like his dad is talking to some floozy on the phone. Because he's like, hey, what are you wearing?
Susie floozy.
It might be Jake from State Farm, but I'm doubting it is.
I think it is. What are you wearing?
Yeah. His name is Jake.
Does he say, like, it's his...
he says it's his accountant.
Yeah, I was like, are you showing your accountant your briefs? Or what are you doing?
Yeah.
I think it's Jake from State Farm.
It might be Jake from State Farm. Yeah. So he said, Dad, you know, you've got a really good thing going on here. Don't mess this up for us.
Right.
Because that's his dad's MO over and over. In the meantime, Catherine...
Oh, that's why he's been married 4 times?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought maybe the girls didn't, you know, get him.
I thought they all they went from natural causes. Yeah. So Catherine takes Sherry to a club. Now, I'm not sure if this was Club Pisces, because it looked like a Pisces symbol, but it also looked like Club 69.
Oh, I don't know. I just called it the Attic.
Okay.
From Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Whenever any like a teenager, supposedly teenager, tries to get into a club, I just call it the Attic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, when they went in there's a giant 69 by the door.
Oh, so you didn't know if it was Pisces.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was Pisces
okay.
or if it was 69.
Yeah.
Probably 69.
Yeah. Speaking of, actually, go on IMDb right now. Look up Robin Dunn. He is actually has 69 things under his name. Yeah, I just remembered that when I was looking up Robin Dunn.
Thinking of Robin Dunn
and
69. Maybe he did
with the Robin Dunn Club.
Robin Dunn Club?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
The Robin Gun Club.
The Gun Club.
Not to be confused.
The Robin Dunn Gun
Club. With the Robin Gun Club.
Stop.
Not
in Canada.
So, Catherine takes Sherry to this club, of course, and Catherine is just feeding her one Long Island iced tea after another. Of course, we have the joke. That we have honestly heard so many
over
times,
and over
even
again.
In the course of this podcast. This iced tea
we
taste.
We have.
This iced tea tastes funny. It's because it's from Long Island.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, why? How come the other boroughs don't have their own iced teas, like alcoholic iced teas?
I don't know.
Right, like, you know, like, here's the Manhattan, you have the Manhattan, but, yeah. You know, the Staten Island, I guess the Staten Island iced tea would just taste like garbage. Anyway, go ahead.
So, of course, Catherine summons this guy over who starts talking to them, and Catherine says, well, stay here, we have to go to the bathroom. And so, they both go into the bathroom. And she's just like, that guy really likes you. And she's like, oh, wow. Okay. And so Sherry's like, oh, really? He likes me? She goes, yes. So obviously what you have to do is have sex with him.
Right.
Which is the weirdest leap for this. And then she's like, say what? And so she's like, let's go back out there. So they go back in the club.
It's almost like they don't have time to, like, dilly-dally with the script.
Yeah.
We just have to punch it. Yeah. Go, go, right. Go.
So she basically is like, hey, Sherry, kiss him. So they kiss. And she's like, now this time use your tongue. And tries to make them
it's
make
out. It's very cartoonish.
Yeah.
Very.
And so right when they get ready to do that, Sherry throws up all over his $300 shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then they take off. So
he said that they were $300?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure we got the right number.
Pretty sure it's 300.
300, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Could have been 250.
It's something ridiculous, yeah.
Could have been on sale at Barney's.
He could have been guesstimating. I doubt he actually knew. in the meantime, Sebastian talks to Danielle over the phone, and they talk for like over an hour about just whatever. So they just keep talking. By this point, Catherine has come back home, and she's listening in at the door on their conversation. Danielle, basically he asks her Danielle out, and then Danielle shoots him down, but he kind of flips the script a little bit and says, no, I wasn't asking you out. How narcissistic are you? And then ends the call. So that way she'll come back for more.
Right.
So
leave him hanging.
Yeah. So he opens the door, knowing Catherine was there, and kind of like makes fun of her, gives her some crap, and shuts the door in her face, and she says, I'm going to get revenge.
Like, just, yeah, I'm going to get revenge.
Just, she declares, vows revenge. So the next morning, Sebastian wakes up, and there's like one of those like little tray tables, like the breakfast in bed tray tables.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. It's got juice on it. It's got like soft boiled eggs. It's got a bunch of stuff on it. And of course,
are you just hungry for breakfast food?
I am.
Okay.
And of course, he rolls over, and the whole thing goes flying onto the ground. And then a random Asian woman who we've never seen this woman before runs in and goes, ah!
40 like minutes screams. Of the movie, never seen her. Ah, yeah. No,
they're going to get mad at me. Yeah, she just starts screaming. They're like, whoa, what is going
on? She's like, oh, the meatball, they're going to get mad at me.
Yeah, and so she, obviously the family is, you know, crappy. They're mean and they're whatever. Right. So I'm sure under other circumstances, she would just be canned immediately.
Go to the zoo and watch the monkeys do it.
Watch the monkeys do it. She is like begging him, don't say anything. I will clean it up. Please don't say anything. And he's like, God, I'm not going to do anything. You're fine. So instead, he gets up and goes to take a shower. And so right behind him, Catherine shows up. And she's got two girls with her who we assume are sisters.
Well, actually, I looked it up. They are actually sisters in real life. They're twin sisters in real life. Yep.
Ew.
Yep.
Even worse.
Even worse. Anywho. They have a YouTube channel. I saw whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Minlin's cleaning up the food. Sebastian's going to shower. She shows up with twin sisters and sends them in to join him in the shower.
I can't remember their names. I think it's Sarah? Sarah and Gretchen.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Whatever. Unimportant.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. These girls act so terribly. They make the Kardashians seem like they were Shakespearean trained actors.
It's true. Yep.
And they all talk with the same vocal fry.
Kim is going to do the new Lady Macbeth. I think so. Ugh. No, I'm joking. Come on.
Gross.
So, like, her revenge on her brother is, I'm going to send two twin sisters in to the shower with you.
To have sex with you in the shower.
To kind of, like, yeah. You know, get you all excited.
Revenge.
Revenge.
I didn't think this plan
through.
I'll
make you have a three-way with two twins.
I didn't think this plan through enough.
I will take over the world next. It seems like that's the most logical thing.
Although, I will say this, the punishment might have been the conversation he had to have with them, because it was pretty awful. So they show up.
Or the dialogue we had to listen to.
Yeah. So this thing feels awkward. Like, I think they were just trying to find twins who would do the scene.
I think they were just looking for a Red Shoes diary
scene. So, they go in. They said, well, you know, we stayed the night, and so now we need to get ready so we can go and do whatever for the day. So would you mind if we showered here too? And of course, they're like, will you hand me the loofah? Ooh. And, you know, kind of do whatever, which I don't know what they're doing with the loofah.
I don't know what they're doing.
But whatever it is, I expect them to shoot it across the room like one of those T-shirt cannons. But yeah, so they're pretty bad. But we get this, like, weird conversation. So, like, and it's just, like, one innuendo after the next.
Are you guys sisters? No, we're kissing cousins.
Yeah, it's one innuendo after the next. Like, he goes, so are you two sisters? She goes, more like kissing cousins.
Oh,
and then
that.
They kiss. Ooh. Which is stupid, because you are sisters. You aren't kissing cousins.
Yeah, in real life.
Sisters.
You're sisters.
Anyway, and then, how do you like school?
Gretchen's goes, the little chunky one. She
goes,
is. I mean,
it's hard. And she goes, it sure is. Rawr. Down by.
And then Robin Dunn magically has, like, he hadn't had, like, a soap or any, like, shampoo in his hand.
Yes. Well, hold on. Then she also, he all of a sudden is like, whoa, and, like, slips and falls.
Again,
second time he's fallen in the
shower. Figure they would put a mat. Hey,
Or get him up one of those, like, medic alert.
You've been there long enough.
Yeah,
you can ask for one.
Of course, he slips and falls, and she goes, "Careful, slippery when wet."
Stop with that voice.
I hate
your Italian voice.
What's Italian? So the girls, of course, are just writhing around saying horrible thing after the one thing after the other. And then they say, it's too bad you're going after the headmaster's daughter, who's all innocent. You know, the school model, it's practically a whorehouse, is what she says. And she says the school motto is, if you don't snort it, suck it.
Right. That's their school motto, which I was like, I do remember seeing the brochure for Manchester Prep that said, if you don't snort it, you suck it.
No, it's one of those. It's like got that fancy crest.
Oh, is it on there?
It's got the fancy crest with like the knight's helmet and like
swords. If
you
don't snort it, you
and
suck
then, like,
it.
Old English font that says, if you don't snort it, suck it.
Yes.
Yeah. But this is where all of a
and
sudden, after they say
put
that.
Put that on your college education as an extracurricular activity.
Correct.
Those Ivy Leagues love that.
All of a sudden, Robin Dunn has a shampoo bottle.
Out of nowhere.
That has been nowhere. All of a sudden, it's in his hand.
He doesn't even have a shelf behind him that would hold
no,
that.
I have no clue where it came from.
This is the biggest shower in the world, too.
So
it holds 70 people.
So he squeezes it after they say, you don't snort it, suck it. He squeezes the shampoo bottle, which then sprays all over innuendo.
Right, innuendo.
Which might be where he had that in his endo. of course, then he drops it, and then one girl delivers a line about, oops, you dropped your bottle or something. And then I swear, the other sister ad-libs. It has to be an ad-lib because
I don't know. The
mic does not pick it up very well.
Okay.
And she goes, looks like he splooged.
Oh, stop with the voice. I hate voices like that.
And then I go, and then I wrote down, whoa, how was this revenge again?
It wasn't
like,
revenge.
I don't understand.
I guess it left blue balls was a revenge, maybe?
So then
I don't know.
They're leaving, and they go, they take the washcloth that came out of nowhere again because they had a loofah before.
Right.
Unless they really worked that thing out. They have a washcloth now.
They probably did.
And she threw it at him, his chest, and it falls straight down. And she goes, ring toss.
Ring toss.
Score.
Ring toss. Ha ha.
And that's the last time we see them.
Yeah.
Or even speak of this.
Thank God.
Yeah, I'm done speaking about it. Mm. So then Catherine,
the,
we see, has...
At this point of the podcast, we're going to pause it so we can take a soapwood shower ourselves to get that idea off. No, keep going, keep going.
Yeah, so at this point, Catherine has the staff lined up, and she's chewing all of them out. Sebastian.
Oh. You said staff lined up, and I thought we were still in the shower scene.
No,
so, I'm sorry.
They're all in the shower, just getting soaked.
No, the staff lined up.
Yeah,
innuendo.
Gotcha.
I can do innuendos too.
Not unless you're doing that
not
voice.
Not like.
Stop
with the voice.
The staff God, is I don't lined hate up.
That. You know I hate that voice.
It's just
you know
a little vocal
there was
fry.
A stop. You know there was that grocery store girl who had that voice the other day, and I hated it. Keep going. People don't need to dive into our lives like that.
So, Catherine's chewing the staff out, phrasing, and Sebastian shows up, and he, of course, is nice to them because he doesn't come from money, so he's treating them respectfully. And that makes her irritated. But they get their allowances. Sebastian shares it with his staff. Basically, he gives them money for helping out with that.
Hmm.
Sherry, in the meantime, we cut over to Sherry, who is begging Danielle at the school for French tutoring. She offers Danielle money because her family, you know, makes no money because her dad's just a headmaster and they don't make anything. Sebastian, in the meantime, they're walking and talking. Her backpack starts ringing, and Sebastian had bought Danielle a new cell phone.
Yeah, a phone, right.
Snuck it into her bag. Yeah. So, you know,
oh, it's
classic.
One of those digital kinds.
Oh, it's digital.
Ooh,
because
digital.
The corded kind in your backpack would be awkward. So he gets her into the courtyard. He walks up and kisses her, and she slaps him and storms off. In the meantime, Catherine's in the halls, and she gets in trouble. One of the teachers stops her and says, "What do you think you're doing?" She goes, "Well, I don't have to take gym." And he said, "Yeah, but you still have to go to ballet. So nice try." So she goes, "Isn't there something we can do?" And is trying to flirt with him, and he goes, "You got the wrong guy." He's like, "Get in there." And of course, once she leaves, one of the male students walks by, and he's like, "Hey," and starts,
hey, Charlie.
And starts trying to get him to stop. And it's messing with his coat or whatever, I don't know. So Catherine goes and sees Steve, the assistant headmaster, again, and tells him he owes her. And basically says, all of this about the classes was a test to see what you would do for me. And, of course, he says that he worships her. She said, "Worship is best on one's knees." So, you know, and he said something about, like, you know, it's a dirty old man's, like, catch 22.
Yes.
Because he's caught one way or the other.
Right.
So,
which is, I thought Art Garfunkel was a dirty man's old catch 22. Is that one of, I think a dirty man's catch 22 is also his sex act that they did in Deuce Bigelow.
I thought it was a drink.
Was it?
I thought it was a cocktail.
Oh, could be a cocktail. Dirty man's catch 22. Whatever, you know, could be.
a dirty catch 22. I'm making it. I have olive juice in it. Anyway, so Sebastian, we cut back to him having a poker night with the rest
the
of
help.
The staff.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all talking and just, you know, they're easygoing. He treats them with respect, and they
they're little stereotypes, though. Each
they
one
are.
Are.
They're all little stereotypes.
Yeah.
Of course, Catherine has been banging at the door for a while trying to get in, and she can't. Nobody picked her up either, and so she had to take a taxi cab.
A taxi?
Oh,
so and terrible. She had to give the confessions in the taxi this time?
I know. So that's how they got her in the next movie. They came back, they watched Taxi Cab Confessions, and she told everything. So she comes in and she's just chewing all of the staff out, threatening to fire them, Phrasing. Threatening to tell her mother. So she leaves and Sebastian chases her down and says, you know, you don't need to do that. You don't need to act like that. You know, those people don't respect you. And she says, I don't want their respect. You know, I pay them. I want their...
Yeah, she's not Rodney Dangerfield. She doesn't need their respect.
And so she then says, you can't believe... Or he says, why do you want to be like your mom? You know, your mom who ignores you, who does all this stuff. Why are you trying so hard to be her? And she said, you don't know the tremendous amount of pressure I'm under just to be perfect, to have to act like this perfect person. And then starts crying. And I think it might be the most... I think it might be the most honest bit of Catherine that we see.
Yeah, it's the heart-to-heart.
It wasn't
probably
her, like... It wasn't her...
Scheming.
Waiting to... Because I'm so used to seeing her in the other movies. And even in this one, where, you know, somebody says something, she cries, and as soon as they leave, the tears dry up.
Right.
You know, she's genuinely crying. And actually, I think it's probably the first bit of, like, good acting I saw from
Amy Adams. Correct. Yeah. At least in this movie. The beginning, she's not so good, but yeah.
So now Sherry calls and talks to Sebastian and says Danielle is in love with him. She's in love with you. You make her moist. And he goes, I make her moist? And she goes, her eyes from tears of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. So Sherry says, look, you got to go meet with her. She's in the city visiting with an aunt. Go there, win her over. No money, no gifts, anything like that. She hates that stuff. Just go see her.
Yeah, just go see her. Don't, you know, don't win her over with material stuff.
Yeah. So Sebastian now, Sebastian meets Danielle on the riverfront. And, of course, he's playing the violin and claiming he's a street performer, trying to just, you know, charm her with that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny with Robin Dunn because he can't play the violin.
Yeah.
So I thought that worked pretty well.
Yeah, it was funny. So she says she's trying to catch her train. She doesn't want to ride. She just wants to get to the train. So he says, I will walk with you and I will escort you.
Right. I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, and she reluctantly agrees. So as they're walking, Sebastian is bearing his soul to her about why he acts the way he does and his mom and his dad, basically just laying it all out there for her. And as he's laying it all out, he turns around and she's actually gone. She's in a cab and she said, sorry, I don't want to be late for my train. Bye. And just leaves.
That was kind of odd.
Yeah. And so, in the meantime, Catherine, the maid, Min Lin, the one who spilled the food earlier, is brushing Catherine's hair. And she says, Catherine tells her, get away. I'll do this myself.
Well, we have a lot in common, though.
Yeah. But then she goes,
your people came from
here.
Hey,
why don't we talk a little bit? Why don't we bond? Like, I feel like this is like a moment when Catherine is actually like considering maybe I should be nicer to them. Maybe, you know, it's almost like this little bit of humanity that we see that before it gets squashed again. Like, there's a little bit of goodness.
I don't know. I don't trust Catherine.
Well, I don't either. But she goes, you know, let's talk. Let's bond. And so she goes, tell me about your story. And she goes, I fled from Cambodia through Korea. Me and 40 other people were in a boat the size of your pantry. And she goes, oh, I know. It's just like this time. We had we had to get on the plane coming back from wherever it was, the Riviera. And
we almost had to fly coach.
And she's like, uh-huh, do you need anything else?
Can
like
I go?
She's trying to, Minlin's
hey,
trying
can
to
I
get
go?
Away.
I got to go to the zoo and watch the monkeys do it.
Yeah.
She says.
But I did. I feel like.
In her thick.
It was Asian right accent. After. It was right after Catherine, you know, was breaking down and was like, I think had this genuine moment that I think we got a little bit of where she maybe thought to me, I read it as she had a moment where she thought, maybe I could bond with these people.
This is kind of where Amy Adams kind of turns around for me and actually like her acting a little bit better.
Yeah. It's
the first part of this movie was not, it felt overacting a little bit.
Yeah. You know. This part starts to pick up a little bit
too melodramatic.
Yes. So we cut to Danielle tutoring Sherry in French. Sherry like shows this is where she says something about that she had to, what was it, she had a piddle?
Yeah, she said something about every time I see someone, it makes me want to piddle. Seeing them. I'm so excited seeing you and Sebastian.
Yeah.
Makes me want to piddle. Do you want to see my doodles?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Okay, Piddles and Doodles is a new cop show that's actually after Falcon Breath and Pizza Bones.
Nice.
On ABC Family. I actually wrote that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Piddles and Doodles.
Piddles and Doodles.
I'm
Piddles. And I'm Doodles. We're cops.
I think there's something else.
What?
I don't know. I don't think Piddles and Doodles are cops.
What are they? Are they the criminals?
No.
Cops?
Okay. No. They're like two people living together.
Oh, like an odd couple kind of?
They're like the odd couple, except both of them are slobs.
Yes.
Piddles and Doodles.
Yes. And it's like a vet, Nicole Brown, never left Community.
Correct. Sherry convinces Danielle to go talk to Sebastian and to get together with him. So, there's something I forgot to bring up earlier. So Catherine, when they were meeting of the tribunal, which all of us have forgotten about by now, there was this talk about, they wanted to get rid of the chef in the cafeteria. They wanted to have sushi all the time.
It's just kind of a side note.
Yeah, they wanted to have sushi all the time. But he says that's not good for growing kids. We should get rid of him and bring in a sushi chef. And, of course, now Catherine is walking down the hall, and she's in a 180 from how she behaved in the previous scene. She's like, out of the way, move it. Yeah,
move.
And there are... There's and she has these two girls who are with her in the tribunal scene,
right?
But that we have never seen them again.
I want to assume they're both the names Heather, and they're like, move, move.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
And they run into the new sushi chef. And so I was like, who the hell is this? And then it made me remember that throwaway bit before, and I was like, oh, my God.
No.
And so they turns out they got the guy fired because they said they found a rat in a kid's Sloppy Joe.
Yeah.
And he'll never work again.
Good.
And I was like, what?
Good.
What a weird piece.
Yeah, I don't know why they brought that back.
It was awkward. Sherry says Catherine and her mom were supposed to come over this weekend. Sherry is yelling at this point from, the balcony.
She's excited. She bought that new Hanson album, and she wants her to listen to it.
Yes, she wants her to listen to it. So she's, of course, typical
she's
girl.
She's sick of Oompop. She wants to know
teenage girl.
What else Hanson can do.
She's excited, and she's shouting down, oh, my God, we're going to do this. And, my mom's, you're supposed to come over to my house, and my mom said you could stay over, and blah, 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 and just, freaking out. And, of course, Catherine looks horrified. And then she runs off to talk to somebody else about something. In the meantime, Danielle meets up with Sebastian. And she says that she was mad because it was her first kiss. And it wasn't perfect. She wanted the perfect kiss. So they share another kiss right then and there. As Danielle leaves, Catherine says, tells Sebastian he's going to get bored and mess it up with her. She just knows. And you know what? I could wipe Danielle off the map tomorrow, which I was like, do you mean kill Danielle? Is that what you're saying? But she says that she'll wipe her off the map tomorrow. Sebastian then threatens Catherine, who says no, basically saying you need to stay away from her. And Catherine escalates it and says, no, nobody talks to me like that. This is war. And Sebastian goes, yeah, okay, war.
Well, yeah, because he knows now he's probably going to get triplets in the shower.
There you go.
Instead of like twins.
He just keeps escalating.
Quadruplets is coming up.
Let's see what I can get going.
Let's see how many girls I can get.
I'm
going
to send in an army of them, and they will have sex toys.
They will. And they'll make loofah jokes.
And so Sebastian goes, yeah, okay, and just shoves her into a random like pool of mud. Just
happened to be there.
Yeah, that she was standing by.
Yeah.
So back at the mansion, now Catherine and her mother are getting massages.
Back at the mansion.
Her mother tells her to be Sherry's best friend because she needs the claimants.
A donation for the, yeah.
She needs him to donate $20 million.
To man prep.
To man prep. To Manchester prep.
Man prep.
Because she wants to name a wing, like a new, build a new building and name the wing after her, after Tiffany's. She wants to name it there, so she needs that money to help. Sebastian walks in and is like, whoop, hey, sorry. And Tiffany said, you look tense. You look like you need a massage, seductively, to her stepson.
Right. Not creepy. So, actually, I think I put gross.
Yeah, that's about right. So then they send the masseuses to take care of him. So they're like undoing his pants and having a difficult time doing that, by the way. While Amy Adams is kind of being sent away. So later, Sebastian's lying on the table, and they start rubbing his back again. And of course, he's like, ooh, which one is this? Which one of the masseuses is it? Turns out it's Tiffany. So Mimi Rogers has come in and is rubbing her stepson's back.
Sure. Gross.
And he keeps going. He keeps calling her mom, trying to get her to stop. He's like, sure thing, mom. Like, trying to, basically say, gross, stop it. And she said, basically they talk, and she says, you know, if your father, he spends an awful lot of time on that yacht. You know, if he was doing something wrong, you and your father would be on the streets in a heartbeat. Which prompts Sebastian to go to the yacht and check out what his father's doing. So he gets out there and he catches his dad in the act. And he tells his dad, you know, he's handcuffed to the headboard and everything in this yacht. He tells him, you gotta knock it off. And basically finds his girl and tells her to get out of there. So she leaves. And then he takes the handcuff keys and throws them out the porthole.
Sure.
So just basically teaching his dad a lesson.
You said porthole.
So Sebastian consoles his dad's mistress, who tries to make a move on him.
Yeah, that just seemed like it was odd. It was like tacked on.
Yeah, it was a very awkward scene.
Really weird.
Yeah.
In fact, I just forgot about it until you said something.
Yeah.
And I really didn't remember it.
She goes, well, they did it because they want to have some jokes in there. She goes, what is it with these guys? They're always coming and going and coming and going and coming.
We get it.
Yeah. And then she's like, they're just nice and I always fall for it and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, you don't have to do that. You're better than that. And he says something nice to her. And she's like, you're beautiful. And like,
your eyes are beautiful.
Yeah. And so he's like, do you remember any of the conversation
we just had? Is your dad Griffin done? You're beautiful. No, it's not.
It's just a very awkward bit of action there. So then we cut back to Catherine and Tiffany talking to Sherry and her mother. Basically, they're angling for a donation. And they're nouveau riche. They're
nouveau
new money.
Riche.
They're new money. They're from California. They don't know much about what's going on. And so they're just teaching them stuff. So in the background, Catherine sees Sebastian's dad scurry by in handcuffs. So he makes it into the kitchen. He's got a knife and he's trying to like pick the lock. And Catherine comes in with a ring of keys and unlocks the handcuffs for him.
She just had the keys?
She had, if you look at her, the key ring has like tons of different types of keys.
Oh.
And so she had a handcuff key one. So she gets it unlocked for him. And she gives him this list of stuff to do. Like, you're going to go to this restaurant tomorrow. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. When they come by, the guy playing the violin comes by, get him to play Under My Thumb because Mick Jagger makes Mother all hot and bothered. Take two Viagra, this and this, and basically you know, run through the entire night, step by step, of what he's supposed to do.
Go down Main Street, have an exile, do whatever you want.
And so she's like, she was like, oh, you know, we're just one big happy family. I want to make sure that, you know, this and this. And she's making sure he's taking care of, you know, what he's supposed
to. Taking care of business.
And she goes, I love you, Daddy. And like, kisses him on the forehead or something. Just on the forehead. And then he's like, that's too bad.
Again. It's
like, you, gross, he's a creep. Yeah.
Gross.
So Sebastian picks Danielle up for their date. It's date day for them. So Sebastian picks Danielle up.
So she gave him a rose. They're on their first date. Oh, God. This is not Bachelor. Sorry.
No. Meanwhile, Sherry and Catherine go for a writing lesson.
After the rose.
Yeah. Catherine manipulates her. Basically, she has her doing the scene where she's learning how to post. Where she's, you know, going the with the horse. Motion of the saddle. Yeah. And basically manipulates her into having an orgasm on the...
Oh, poor Mr. Ed in that scene.
The horse looks really terrified.
Also, I mean, was that, like, on the streets of somewhere? Because there's, like, these people that walked by, and I thought that they were not, like, extras.
Yeah.
And they were just watching her hump this horse.
And you know what I mean? More interested in the cameras.
And it's just like, oh, God. So she has an she falls off and has an orgasm.
Yeah.
Which I put gross.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know.
Yeah. Of course, on their... so and we go back to...
I keep saying gross, but what I mean is Terry Gross from Fresh
Makes
Air.
Makes sense, yeah.
Or Naomi Gross.
Grossman.
Grossman. Grossman. Oh, yeah. Terry Gross is a better
you
joke.
You ruined everything.
I had to do one joke that didn't make sense, and I hadn't done it yet.
Damn it.
Go ahead. We're almost done. Right?
Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So, okay. We're back on their date. Sebastian and Danielle are making out in the park.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, as they're making out,
feels like it's tacked on.
It is. It's very odd. And it's very odd because everybody's, like,
she's coming on too strong now.
Her, like, character or her persona just changes all of a sudden. So they're making out, and he gropes her breast, and she talks about how
the dialogue's pretty terrible.
She talks about slowing down. What? Yeah.
The dialogue's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. She talks about slowing down, and then she says she considers losing her virginity because she doesn't want to be the only sophomore who hasn't.
Oh, they're all sluts that sophomore class.
Yeah, which is, I think, what she says. And so she's saying, oh, yeah, I do this and this. And he's going, whoa, slow down. That's, you know, that's not what you want. Just slow down. And, of course, she grabs his dick.
At the park.
In the park.
There could be pigeons that came by.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. And he's still trying to keep it under control. And then she's, like, unzipping her shirt.
And like up and like, down, yeah.
She's just going on, and they were talking about something. He's laying something, like some logical explanation to something out, and he says, "Listen to us. We sound like a failed television show."
Right.
Which
we'll talk about that more. Yeah.
And of course, she starts undoing his pants and going to give him a blowjob in the park when her dad calls.
So Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Was the theme song that played on her ringtone.
I'm not making a Saved by the Bell joke. I make one every episode.
Did you already make one?
No.
You're not going to?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. No. Okay. So her dad calls.
Yeah.
And
I think her dad's name is Zach, and there's a Zach attack.
I was going to say, that brought everything to a screeching halt.
Oh, gosh.
So
sometimes our podcast needs footnotes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the references that we got. Okay, go ahead.
So in the meantime, Catherine is going shopping, which we're spending entirely too much time on. Like, she's talking about fur. Do you have fur? They're like, we only do faux fur. And she's like,
who are you?
Rich. So.
Don't you know who I am?
So at this point, I gotta go back. The scene with
You don't have to.
The scene with Danielle is so weird.
No, it is.
It's so weird. On the park bench? She's been so demure through the whole thing.
Right.
And now she's like, give me that big greasy dick.
I want it.
Yeah. She's
right
like,
here on this park bench in front of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, yeah, she like I don't understand.
Feeding
it.
Pigeons
so
turns
awkward.
Me on.
I love azaleas. So much.
This blue pot bench.
She's all over it. And yeah, it's just awkward. So Catherine, Court shows up then.
And we were like, we forgot about you.
Yeah, I forgot you existed. And he's like, I found the file on your brother. Turned off, he paid a courier to get rid of the old one.
Mm.
But I have it here. And so... he shows it to her, but I'm like, okay, that's the only interaction she has with him. No indication that they're involved or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
we see later.
I'll get him.
Ooh. So Sebastian calls Danielle, and she says she's spending the night with Mr. Whiskers. And he goes, who's Mr. Whiskers? And she goes, my pussy.
Cat.
And then you hear a meow.
So another cat joke.
Another cat joke. Another pussy cat joke.
Yeah.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine shows up.
Script written by Meow Meow Pussycat from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Henrietta.
That's true.
Meow 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 Meow. Park bench. Meow Meow Park bench. Meow Meow Meow. Grab boob. Meow 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 Meow. Big greasy dick. Meow Meow Meow. Daniel Striper Tiger. Meow Meow. Fofer. Meow Meow. Amy Adams. Get her. Meow Meow Meow.
Yeah. Dad called Screech.
Go ahead.
So Catherine shows up with the file and basically says, oh, I could tell my mom all this. And then your mom, she wouldn't like that you're giving money to your mother's rehab. She'd kick you out on the streets and cut your mom out. And your mom would be homeless and this and just chewing her out. And, of course, basically how bad he is, like she's like, oh, you're so terrible, you're so this and this, which apparently is turning Catherine on. So she tries to have sex with him, but of course he doesn't want to. He says he loves Danielle and he doesn't want any part of it, so he gets up and he starts running away.
Oh, it's raining out.
And
it's
she goes,
John Cusack
she goes
moment.
You pussy. And all I think of is Mr. Whiskers.
Mr. Whiskers? No, not Mr. Whiskers.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, meow, meow. And so...
Meow, meow, meow. Run through the wind. Meow, meow.
And, well, as he's leaving then, Catherine picks up the phone and goes, hello, Danielle. And, like, calls Danielle. Sebastian is running in the rain at this point. He runs to Danielle's house. He could have had a chauffeur take him, but no, he ran all the way.
No, he was John Cusack to that moment.
And so he's... pounding on the door, he gets inside and he says, hey, I want to get out of New York. And like, I just got to get away from this. I can't be subject to this. And she says, you know, you have to believe in something more. You have to believe in a higher power. You know, do you believe in a higher power? Like our, the power of our love? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I love you. And she goes, do you believe in our love? Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah. I do. I believe in our love. She goes, fucking idiot. That's all she says. All of a sudden, it's like, Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Gotcha.
All of a sudden, like, her, fucking idiot. So, like, all of a sudden, her whole attitude changes. And then Catherine opens the closet door and saunters out, like,
surprise, she got
in a
there.
Leather jacket. Well, of course she got there because
she
didn't
limo.
Run all the way through the rain.
Right.
She took the chauffeur.
Yeah, right.
And so... turns out it was all an act.
The
all
whole time.
Along.
The whole time. A long con of
sex. She's not pure and whatever. Even before the revenge thing started, she was somehow plotting this revenge.
Well, she
I don't
knew.
Know. Yeah, she knew. It was,
oh,
she,
yeah.
It was pre-venge.
Even before
she
found
getting
out
even
she
with
had a stepbrother. She was like, if I get a stepbrother,
yeah.
Danielle, you are helping me with this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can.
Pre-venge.
One,
she was pre-planning it.
Yeah, right.
So, of course... to prove that she's not pure, Catherine and Danielle, and I assume Mr. Whiskers, all make out for a little while. Then Catherine makes out with Sebastian.
Right.
And she asks him to join them.
Right.
To his company
Three is a fuckload of fun.
Which John Ritter, Joyce DeWitt, and Suzanne Summers was in Three is a Fuckload of Fun. I see it on reruns all the time.
Three is a fuckload of fun, too.
Yeah. Three is a fuckload of fun, too. Come and fuck in my door. Got a diaphragm for you. What?
Shower loofahs for him and
hers. Threes. Fuck a load of fun. Okay.
So, and then we assume Sebastian and at least Danielle have sex. Like they, Amy Adams does this thing where she like takes their heads and just shoves them out of the picture.
Assume that. Do they have, do all three of them?
I don't know.
Because later on, in the first movie, she says, I'm going to give you what you've always wished, which is the grossness of them having, relations. So, I don't know. So, they...
I would assume not. I don't know.
Whatever. So, we get a shot of Sebastian later on.
Well, okay. So, Sebastian, at the next time we see him,
right.
He's opening up.
He's emo. He's got those sunglasses on.
He looks like he fell out of the Matrix. Yeah. He's opening up this present, and it turns out it's the journal from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally see that. Still no mention of the cocaine cross.
Nothing.
And Catherine gives it to him and says, now you have something to write about, and gives him this journal. And we can tell that he's changed, because when he reads the card, he doesn't thoughtfully set it down. He, like, flings it across the limo. Yeah,
flings it.
Blech.
Next!
So next, while they're there, they pass Sherry on her bike, and Sebastian calls the driver, who honks, and she falls off her bike, and so the chauffeur is like, oh my gosh, I'll help you.
But the chauffeur is actually the director of the first movie and the director of this movie.
Yeah,
it's the same guy. Oh, the director that, and he is actually playing the chauffeur.
Yeah.
So,
well,
Hitchcock cameo.
Touching that girl's boobs a lot. Yeah. That was like, I don't know if that's scripted or not, but it looked awful.
Probably not. He's probably a perv. I mean, he did these movies.
So he's, of course, throws her bike away. But then they bring her inside, and they do the same thing from the first movie. He asks if he can take her picture, and she says, yeah. And he goes, well, I want you to do a sexy picture, but you can't do that. And, of course, she... Yes, I can. And she starts trying to act sexy. And he basically jumps her and starts making out with her. And she...
Camera pulls out.
She gets into it and then jumps on top of him. Because forcing himself on her really got her going, apparently.
And the camera pulls out.
Yeah,
and
camera pulls out. So you can hear the sex noises. But then you see from the front cab part where the chauffeur is that Catherine... And Danielle are in there, too. And they're also dressed like they're in the Matrix. Everybody's dressed like
true.
They're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the end.
Yes. So you've been deuced.
Now let's go back and explain this.
Oh, do you want to? Or do you want to do that through our five questions? Because that kind of answers some of our five questions.
I think we should tell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I actually did some research on this because we were like... It seems odd because the plot really kind of jumps towards like, here's some plot right here, and then it switches, and here's some plot over here, and then it switches.
It feels very
disjointed.
It almost
feels like three movies in one.
Yeah.
In a way.
It feels disjointed. It feels like some things are like put in after the fact.
Right.
And
the characters.
So, like on the DVD.
Right.
Because we found the DVD of this. They have
which we were lucky to find.
Yes, very. Yeah. And they have character cards
$1.
Where they say who plays what, right?
Yeah.
And they have all these people, but then there's like Annette or Danielle, just the name Danielle. And
which I assume her last name is just the headmaster.
Whatever his is, yeah.
Yeah.
But then we see the fourth character. It's who we know as Sherry Clayton. It says Celeste on there.
Right. But that's...
Yeah. It actually says... Or
Selma
no, not
Blair.
Celeste. Cecile Caldwell.
Selma Blair's character. In the first
movie. So I was like, that's weird. Sherry Clayman versus Cecile Caldwell. Like, well, that was Selma Blair's character.
You notice,
so,
like, well, that's the same character.
Yeah, it's basically the same stuff, and it's repeating things. Because a lot of people, I think the big complaint about this movie was a lot of the stuff was rehashed from the first one.
Right.
And it's like almost exactly the same situation.
So this is what I found. It says, this film was originally a TV series based on the Cruel Intentions movie. It was supposed to be entitled Manchester Prep, which is where we get the Cruel Intentions 2, Manchester Prep.
Yep.
With 3-hour-long episodes filmed, one of them called The Pilot, the second episode called Pretty and Plaid, and the third one called Dysfunction Junction. They were scheduled to premiere on the Fox Network in September of 1999, but the show was canceled before any of the episodes were aired. The scene where Sherry has an orgasm on the horse was supposed to be from episode 3. But the chairman of Fox, Rupert Murdoch, was so outraged that he canceled it and said, we're not doing it. So new explicit scenes and dialogue were added to the footage from the pilot and the first 2 episodes to make this film. The pilot was then reworked to serve as a prequel instead of a reboot. So when we talk about reboots and prequels, this is a main example of how it actually they were trying to reboot as a TV show, but it failed. So then they just packaged it as a sequel prequel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it was.
This is very
essentially
odd. Which makes sense. When that makes more sense to me, why all of a sudden it was like, we're focusing on this for like 40 minutes, and then we're focusing on kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, yeah.
And you can kind of tell where they tack on stuff. And they actually overdubbed, they actually called whatever her name is, Sherry.
Yeah.
Her
Cecile. Yeah.
And they had to dub that.
And Danielle was Annette.
Yes.
And so, throughout
the
movie.
I don't know for that for sure.
But for sure it was. Because it was almost the same situation. It was almost the same general premise. So,
except she doesn't turn out to be working for.
No, but again, I think that was a forced in ending.
Right, it was forced in ending to make it a movie.
Yes,
instead of a TV show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so I think that's why that all of a sudden
so this movie was just 3 TV shows mashed together.
Yeah, and that's why all of a sudden she turns on a dime. While all of a sudden she's just like, give me that cock, and was going after it when she didn't.
So that answers actually some questions that then later on, because that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it.
Yeah.
Right? So this person is I Am Your Conscience, which gave it a 1 out of 10. It says, just awful. Basically, Cruel Intentions 2 is Cruel Intentions 1 again, which they're right, but they don't know that it's a TV show, right?
Right.
So it says, only it's poorly done. The story is exactly the same as the first one, even some of the lines, with only a few exceptions. The cast is more unknown and definitely less talented. Instead of being seductive and drawing me into watching it, I end up feeling dirty because it compares to watching a softcore porn. I'm not sure whether to blame some of the lines on the actors or writers. I always feel bad saying that because I know how hard it is to do both, but it's basically a 2-hour waste of my life. It literally amazes me that some of these movies get made. I can't believe they're going to make a third one, which they did make a third movie. Mm-hmm. So this is a Cruel Intentions 3. It has nothing to do. It has none of the characters from the originals.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new set of characters. It's stupid. So there's that.
Okay.
I don't know what you think about that. Well, we kind of answered that. I think this person didn't know that it actually was a TV show that they were trying to reboot.
Yeah.
And not necessarily.
Well, but even then, like, you could have
even
made it into something else, but instead they did this ham-fisted, like, let's add in these, which makes sense why, like,
The twist is so weird.
Yeah. Why all of a sudden.
And it doesn't work.
She goes from being sweet to going a million miles a minute, like, just wanting to be all over his junk.
And that kind of just doesn't work.
Yeah, and all of a sudden then she's evil.
But it also was like, how is this going to end anyway? Because there really is no plot.
Yeah.
That kind of is a through story.
But then also, like, the whole scene with, like, the twins was just shoehorned in.
Right, that had to be shoehorned in because this is Fox and not Cinemax.
Right. And so.
Skidamax.
There's a lot of stuff there that was awkward, but it makes sense. And it makes sense, like, it's disjointed. I swear, because, like, you talked about the overdubbing.
That's where they call her Cecile.
They call her Cecile. Yeah. At least once they call her Cecile because they missed a dub.
So here's another
person. And even in the DVD screens, it calls her Cecile.
They call her that. So I think it just is all messed up.
Yeah.
So this person says, awesome, totally rocks. They're called Brad Clark is their name. They give it a 10 out of 10. I'm a teenager. I was 17 when I first saw this. So what are you, 18 now? Come on. I was 17 when I first saw this movie, and I think it was great. I love the original, don't get me wrong, but this movie allowed us to see how the mighty do fall, so to speak. Which I think adds to the second movie. Those who put it down, however, you might find out the age bracket that this movie was directed at. Robin Dunn is one of my favorite actors. Aww. Basically, when he is something you know, when he's in something that you know, you're going to get a great performance. So this person loves Robin Dunn, mm-hmm. too. I found he, with Sarah Thompson and Carrie Lynn Pratt, gave an edgy, sexy, very sexy in the shower and park scenes performance, which I enjoyed and have enjoyed many times over. Of course you did, Brad.
Gross kid.
You gross 17-year-old kid.
I jacked off a bunch to this.
So no prizes to people who put this down just because it's a sequel or prequel or whatever. It just seems that it's a good movie and that I enjoy it. So go out and buy it. I give it a 5 out of 5. Now, if you disagree with Brad, he does leave his email address. So you can email him at bradjclark84@hotmail.com.
bradjclark84?
Yeah.
At hotmail.com.
Yeah, go ahead.
When did he leave his thing?
2003, but still. Just go ahead and email
him. Yeah, he might have it still. Give him a shot.
Oh, he probably does.
Wait, he was 18 then.
Yeah. So what is he now? It's 15 years later, right?
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
He's 30-something.
Oh, geez.
Just email him. Do you still like this movie?
Email him, ask him about his favorite movie, Cruel Intentions 2.
Yeah.
And how he loves the shower scenes.
He probably still does. If he was on IMDb being like, oh, man, I slapped it so hard. Cruel Intentions too, guys.
Jesus. Okay, let's get to our questions, should we?
Okay. What did you think was the best part of this movie?
Me? And I'm not just saying this because... What?
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 I thought you said me.
No, are you going with me first?
Yeah.
Okay. Me, I think, and not just because of what we're doing, but I think the best part of this movie is Robin Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
I think is probably the better parts of the movie. And I think Amy Adams later on in the movie is better. I actually like her acting better at the end of the film and him at the beginning of the film. Does that make sense?
It also makes sense, though. So if this was... If they got introduced for a pilot and then they filmed the next two after that, it would make sense that maybe she didn't have as much acting skill on the first one.
Right.
And then the next two were down the road when she picked up a few skills.
Right.
And which is why all of a sudden there's this huge shift in her acting ability.
And she has a button nose.
And all of a sudden she looks different. But they do. Their hair changes. It's blonde and then it goes darker. And then it's awkward.
Yeah. Your favorite best part of this movie?
It's Robin Dunn.
It's Robin Dunn.
Robin Dunn has a great sense of comic timing. He has great dramatic piece.
When he says the lines, it's just saying them. He's not overdoing it. And he's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not forcing it.
And I will say,
the script isn't the best, but
when he says that he loves Danielle, and she goes, fucking idiot, and turns into it was a sexy ploy all along. When she turns into that, his eyes look glassy, like he's been broken. Like he's got the tears.
Or he's been smoking pot. Whatever.
Yeah, well, more power to him.
Yeah,
whatever. I would get through this movie too.
Medical marijuana is laws up in Canada. You know?
But he's got tears welled up in his eyes. Like
his eyes are moist.
Yeah, his eyes. They're moist. He's moist. His eyes are.
And so, if you hate the word moist, we've said it 7 times. So.
Moist.
Yes.
Wispy.
To my cousin Tessa, moist.
Moist. The moist maker. but no, it...
Someone's just yelling at us right now.
But no, Robin Dunn has a great comic timing, and I think he does an excellent job here. I will say, while most of the Like the servants and stuff are kind of ridiculous. Min Lin, I don't remember the actress who plays her, but the character Min Lin, the Asian maid.
She's okay.
She, I think, does some, like, she has some good comic delivery, too, I think.
Yeah.
But she's not in it that much to judge it, but I think she does do some good
Mimi Rogers is okay. Again, we talked about how she's probably the most
She's like the Lionel Luther of this show movie.
Smallville, is that what we're talking about? Okay, yeah.
John Glover. On Smallville, the girl who plays Cecile / Sherry was Cat Grant.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Amy Adams in the movies
played Lois Lane.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Superman couldn't help this movie, though.
There you go.
Number two question.
Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, I've been reading a lot about the reboots. They really wanted to reboot this about 15 years later for last year. Sarah Michelle Gellar put her name on it to reboot it for NBC. NBC did kind of a soft pass, but still had it. And then they eventually passed on it, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
So they were going to reboot it, and then she was going to play the same character, but 15 years later.
Oh.
And so it would be more like that.
Yeah.
So they were going to reboot it. I've also seen... I've showed you clips of a musical that someone did,
an unauthorized
musical of Cruel
Intentions. They say it's an unauthorized parody. Because under parody they
it's a jukebox musical of 90s music. I just kind of, I'm ready to kind of, I don't know, if they're going to do it as sexy soap, maybe primetime needs a sexy soap. I don't know.
I would rather see, instead of Cruel Intentions, because I think that's played out. Like, it was unique in its day, but like they've had Gossip Girl, they've had all these other shows that I think have filled that need. And we're
they're rebooting Dynasty this year.
We're full up on that shit. Like, okay. I'm done with it. Like, if this was gonna get rebooted, I'd say reboot Dangerous Liaisons.
That's what
like,
I was gonna say. Why not just do?
If you're gonna do a TV show, whatever, then do Dangerous Liaisons.
Let's get Sofia Coppola to do that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, me and you.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk to her. Okay. We'll talk to her.
I have her on speed dial.
SoCo.
Is that what you call her?
Yeah. SoCo.
Okay, whatever.
Well, why not? Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Compared to the first movie?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, okay, so this is unique compared to our
weird
other ones because it's a continuation of the other story, but since this is a prequel, technically... It kind of has to stand on its own.
It kind of does stand on its own, though. I think it does.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, the plot itself might kind of be a jigsaw puzzle that doesn't quite fit. But you kind of know what characters are.
Yeah.
They lay out this character, they lay out that character, and you can easily follow along. So I say it does.
Yeah. And it's interesting because...
You say it does?
Yeah, I think it does. Because this one actually says, like, they give him the journal at the end. You don't have to know what it is. It's like you're like, oh, he got a journal.
Right.
But if you know the other movie, then you go, oh, what, the journal. You know,
right. So. Except for her necklace. We really don't.
Yeah, the Coke necklace doesn't show. But they wouldn't have been able to show illicit drug use on television.
Right. And that makes sense more now that you know. But a lot of things make more sense.
Yeah.
This movie, not so much.
Does this make you want to see the first one?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Because I kind of, yes and no.
I've seen the first one to death.
Yeah.
And technically, or not technically, but in reality, I dislike Ryan Phillippe's performance in the first one. I would much rather have Robin Dunn in the original.
Okay.
Robin Dunn and Sarah Michelle Gellar. I think that would have been great.
Okay. And I haven't seen it as much as you, so I'd watch it again.
I've seen it many times.
Okay. And I have not seen it as many times.
Kudos. Some of your experience up in two words.
Jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
Because it's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
It's not. Now that I know, like, I was like, it was about 3/4 of the way into the movie when I read that. And I went, okay, that makes sense that this was a movie or that this was a TV show instead of a movie. But to just kind of say we're just going to then repackage this as a prequel sequel, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's my two words.
Yeah.
You?
I say ham-fisted sequel.
Yeah.
Because it's... And I get the whole thing about it being that, hey, look, this was actually supposed to be a show that didn't quite work and whatever. But to me, you should have just let it go then. But instead, they were like, well, we're going to recoup our money. We're going to
whatever. Yeah, that's the thing.
And I get why they did it. But then because they had to shoehorn crap in there, it just did not work.
Yeah.
Like, so it felt like the way they did it.
But was,
instead of reworking it and trying to use what they have and fill in little bits, they just tried to rush things mm-hmm. very awkwardly. And the... I'm just going to throw in copious amounts of sex instead of storyline. Just yeah. didn't work for me.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I mean, it worked for the one dude with the shower scene, but, you know.
Whatever.
The kid, the 17-year-old.
Oh, the one guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can email him again at, keep talking, and I'll look up that email. Where can people find us, Jeremy?
So people can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. Or you can also download us at Stitcher, Google Play Music, iTunes, any of that good stuff.
And so, if you want to then share this to Brad Clark, his email is bradjclark84@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him some give him some time to get back to you.
He's yeah, give only him got, some time.
He's only got one arm free.
So you guys have been deuced. We'll be back with another Robin Dunn because he is the king of sequels. Think we'll be we got three more sequels. He's done
three more sequels.
Four sequels.
Yes.
So I think we're doing what are we doing next?
So next up will be the Skulls 2 or is it Au Pair?
Au Pair.
Au Pair 2.
He was in Au Pair 2.
Yes. The sequel to the critically acclaimed Au Pair.
Au Pair, which is not about like a bunch of pairs that say, "Oh." That's not what that's about.
Yes, correct.
No.
And then we'll also have
The Skulls 2.
The Skulls 2, and not necessarily in this order. We also have American Psycho 2.
Yes.
All-American Girl.
All-American Girl, American Psycho 2, All-American Girl. That will be with a crossover with our friend Darren from the Psychosomatic Podcast.
Yep.
We'll be on his podcast
yep.
discussing politics and whatever we want.
And American Psycho.
On American Psycho.
Yep.
Which I think is probably the same thing nowadays. Mm-hmm. His politics and American Psycho. We'll be talking about them, and then he'll be coming on our podcast to deuce it up with American Psycho 2.
Yep.
All American Girl. So
correct.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, please remember, Robin Dunn is the god of sequels. He's the king of sequels. And remember that the sequel is king, and Robin Dunn has that crown. All
right. Oh, wait, what's happening?
I don't know what's happening. Robin Dunn is king.
Walk in slowly now. I will show you just how. There are times that we all are connected. There's no time to waste. Don't you dare hesitate. There are times when it's always reflected. It's the last good time.
Shut up.